if you would, Romans the first chapter, 16th verse, and then we're going to talk about our third part of the biblical words for salvation. Just a few minutes here. We started out talking about salvation, which means deliverance or being brought safely through. There's one way, two sides, three stages. The one way is Christ, through Christ Jesus. We know that. And two sides is we've received it by grace through faith. And we have a past stage. When we first got saved, we got the present stage right now where we are living for Jesus. You know, we're in the present. And then there's a future stage is where he delivers us out of this present evil world through rapture or death. So that's where we're at today. And one of these days we'll be out of here, but we're right now saved from the practice and dominion of sin. And one of these days we're going to go home, receive our heavenly rewards and be with Jesus forever. And I'm kind of looking for that. And then one word we dealt with was redemption, which is meaning to be ransomed by payment of a price. And of course, you know, the price was the precious blood of Jesus, who died on Calvary for our sins. And everybody was in a state of sin, had to be redeemed from that. You and I have been redeemed. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. And so and it goes on, say, happy and glory one day I shall be because I've been redeemed. Today we're going to talk about justification. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 2:13. So we want to talk about the word justify today. Romans 2:13 says this, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." He doesn't use the term law here in the sense of a system of statutes that we have to obey and earn God's salvation, but without grace, because we know we are saved by grace today. And merely that God's law here reveals to us God's will concerning our lives. And hearing God's word alone without accepting Christ as your Savior doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Does not do you a whole lot of good. You have to submit to him through faith. You have to submit to him. You have to be obedient to him. And that obedience is to the faith of in Jesus Christ. Now, justify means this. The word justify means to be made just or righteous before God. You've been made just or righteous before God. Well, there's another word we can use, sanctification, being set apart. Set apart just simply means you're set apart to serve. You've been made a servant of God now. So we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, we have been made righteous by his blood. We have been justified. See, you and I can't do it in and of ourselves. You can do your best to be a really good person. You can make up your mind you're not going to cuss and you're going to quit drinking and you're not going to do drugs no more. All the different things. You know, I've called out some certain things. Why, Pastor, we don't do those stuff around here. Well, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I don't follow you around, see what all you do. But all of us have things in our lives that are sin or rebellion against God that we could stop doing them, make up our mind. We're not going to do them, whatever it is. Stop gossiping or whatever it might be. But that won't save us. We can be thought well of by the community because of our good works, because of our deeds, because of our giving money away to people. I know what the word is. I just can't say it. Now, y'all said it for me. We're good. And so, philanthropy, that word. I tried. I can't get it out. You understand, we can look good to the world because of all of our good deeds, because we're involved in the community. And sometimes I read in the paper and you'll see certain people. There's one certain couple I see in the paper a lot, and I'm like, man, them folks always get in the paper because they're involved in this show and they're involved in this over here, and they feed these people during Thanksgiving, and they do. Like, man, they're always in the paper. And if when I die, they probably won't put my obituary in. I hope you meant a good. Oh, you did point up, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. I know you did. Yeah, we know where you're going to be. That's why we ain't going to tell nobody you died. We're going to let you surprise the devil when you get there, you know. No, I knew what you meant, Pat. But you understand what I'm saying. But that won't save you. You've been saved by grace through faith, and that's all that saves you. This other stuff won't do it. And so we have been justified by the blood of Jesus. Look at Romans 5, 18 and 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 reads this. Therefore, as by offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by one offense of judgment. What was that? Adam sinned. One offense of judgment. Adam sinned, and now it came, that judgment come upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Adam sinned, Eve sinned, we were doomed and damned. But then one man died for our sins, one man died to justify us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Jesus Christ. And for cause of that, we have justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means he justified us through his blood because you accepted the free pardon. You asked him to forgive you of your sins. Aren't you glad for that today, that you are free from sin because of Jesus Christ? It means we have been put in a right relationship with God rather than a mere legal judicial declaration. He didn't just say you're freed. He didn't just say you can go free from sin. He says now you have a right relationship with me. A good relationship with God. God has forgiven the repentant sinner whom he pronounced guilty through the law and condemned to eternal death. But because of your acceptance of Christ and because of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, now you are set free from the condemnation of your own sin. You deserve death. You deserve damnation. You deserve to be separated from God because of your sinful flesh. But because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his righteous way of living, and because of his meritorious work at the cross, you can go free. And God sees you in a legal standing of justified. Free of guilt. Free of guilt. And the power of sin also has been broken off of you. We are no longer guilty. You have been given divine favor. Divine favor. And you have been set in a right relationship or fellowship with God and his will. Think about that. You have divine favor. God has put you in a right relationship. So now, when the Bible says, I can come boldly to the throne of grace, why is that? Because you are in a divine relationship and you have found favor with God. Not just anybody can do that. Just the born again. Everybody, well, I'm praying. I'm asking God to do this. And you're not a Christian. You don't have the access that we have as Christians. We have access to the throne room because we have divine favor. Isn't that exciting? I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can cry up there, hey, Father. I can come bursting in the middle of a meeting. And somebody say, what's that boy doing in here? He'll say, leave the boy alone. Come here, son. What, Daddy? Sit on my lap. Tell me what you want. Don't you feel that way about your kids? We have divine favor. I mean, that's kind of a weird way to define it, but you understand what I'm saying. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can burst right into any meeting God's having, and God will say, hey, what do you need? He doesn't get angry with us. We're in divine favor. I think that's great, man. That's absolutely great. We have fellowship with him. And so there's several truths here, and we can talk about just briefly. And we have about justification, how it is accomplished, that Paul wrote here. Before being put right with God is a gift. It's a gift. God give us a gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Ephesians 2:8. And that'll explain it to you a little bit. Ephesians 2:8. Yeah. It says, for by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So our grace, our salvation, our justification is a gift. God wrapped it up real pretty. Wrapped it in a ribbon soaked in blood. The blood of Jesus. He wrapped it up pretty. Amen? He wrapped it up. It's a gift. So we have, you know, we've been put right with God. And it's a gift. No one can put ourselves right with God by keeping the law or performing good works. It's a gift of God through grace, by faith. That's how you're saved today. Being put right with God happens through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. No one is justified who has not been redeemed by Christ from sin and His power. Sweet is a song again. I'm singing today, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to keep that in mind. Every time you pray, every time you think you're not right with God or you shouldn't be right, have you been redeemed? Have you been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Then you're saved. If you accepted Christ, you've repented of your sins, you're a Christian. Quit letting the devil beat you up and act like make you think you're not a Christian. He does this all that way. Sometimes, you know, we all grumble within ourselves and maybe wonder if we're even saved or not, whether we're going to make it to heaven. Quit letting the devil put those thoughts in your mind. If you're not sinning, you're not going around doing bad things, quit letting him tell you you're a bad person. Stop him in his tracks. Stop letting him do that to you. Because he'll confuse you. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Of the brethren. He didn't say of the sinner, of the brethren, of those that have been born again, the devil accuses them. He tries to put thoughts in your mind, tries to put ideas in your heart, in your head, into your heart, that you're not right with God. Tell him he's a liar. Fact is, the Word of God says he is a liar and the father of all lies. So don't let him run you ragged with that stuff. Tell him, hey, devil, you're a liar. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Am I perfect in my flesh? Probably not, but I am made perfect by Jesus Christ and his perfect blood. I'm made perfect by him. When God sees me, he sees the blood. Aren't you glad he can't cross the bloodline? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been put right. Being put right with God comes by his grace, and it's appropriated by faith. I've talked about that already. Appropriated by faith. And being put right with God is related to the forgiveness of our sins. Sinners are declared guilty. Sinners are declared guilty. But we have been declared innocent. We have been declared pardoned. Maybe not innocent, but pardoned. None of us were innocent. We're all sinners. We all have the ability to sin. We all have a sin nature. But we have been declared pardoned. Full pardon by God. Isn't that exciting? Exciting. We're free. And when we are put right with God, justified with God, we are crucified with Christ, and we come to live, and he comes to live in us. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 through 21. Chapter 2, Galatians 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of law. For by the works of law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. He had a profound, Paul said here, I have a profound personal attachment to Jesus Christ. I have a reliance upon him. Everybody that lives for Jesus Christ, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, live their lives in an intimate union with the Lord, both in his death and resurrection. And revolution. In his revolution, you know. And so we have been bought with a price here today. We're dead to sin today. We crucify our flesh and the affections and lust of our flesh because Christ lives in us. So we put to death the flesh. I know it rears up its ugly head. I know you got to whack it off more than once through your lifetime, maybe more than once each day. It seems to keep growing back. You put it to death and it comes back again. You ever notice that? It's like a chicken I buried one time. Had this rooster that was mean. I thought I'd killed him. I whacked him upside the head with a shovel. I put him in the back of my truck, and I drove him down the side of the road, and I didn't want the neighbors to know I'd killed my chicken, so I got off the side of the road, and I dug me a hole, and I stuck the chicken in there, and as I was covering him up, all of a sudden his head come up out of there. Sort of how sin does us. It rears its ugly head. Well, that chicken still didn't stand a chance, because I beat him back down in there. And I covered him up with dirt. That sorry rooster. That's what we need to do with Satan. Bury him. Cover him up. Get rid of him. Crucify your flesh. Amen. That story's old. Now quit. Shut up. Listen to me. Lost my place. You see, sin no longer, that chicken sure didn't have no dominion over me because I killed him. I put him in the grave. Amen. You ever, I won't tell that story. I'll leave that alone. Somebody, y'all turn me over to the people for ethical treatment of animals if I tell the next story. You ever had chicken killing dog? I have. I like that story. I might tell it. No, sin no longer has dominion. We have been crucified with Christ. Amen? And so, we who have been crucified with Christ now live with Him in His resurrection life. His Christ Jesus and His strength dwells in us. There we go. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. He becomes the source of our life and the center of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Your life should revolve around Christ. That doesn't mean you don't still go on dates once in a while. If your parents are left, they'll use you. You don't still work. Good, good. That's a good deal. That's what I was hoping for. You're going to say no. And you're not lying to me, are you? Oh, Lordy. That's a sin, you know. What was I going with that? Don't mean you don't still struggle with these things. Doesn't mean. But you go on with life. You're crucified and you live, your life that you live is now you lived in Christ. Your thoughts, your intimate relationship with Him, your thoughts and stuff revolve around Christ. What's going to please Him? What can I do for Him today? But you still live your life. You still have your families and your jobs and your school and your boyfriends and girlfriends and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not opposed to it. I liked it back when I was a kid too. And then I got married and it's like, oh Lord, why not away? But, no, I'm just kidding. You got me on a roll. You told me to shut up, so now I can't. We continue to live life, but we have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts thereof, and we are in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So everything revolves around Him. We get up in the mornings and we you know, I ask the Lord to bless the day, and you know, I like to have a slow. I don't get around fast anymore because I don't want to. I don't have to, so I don't have to get up early like Brother Ron. So. I don't. So I don't. You know what I mean? And but my life then revolves, of course, we're pastors, so our life revolves around the church. So we certainly say, well, certainly, Pastor, you're a pastor, so you have to think about Jesus and think about the church. But even when I wasn't a pastor, and that's a long time ago, I know, but I still, my life revolved around the church, revolved around what I could do for Christ, and because I was in a relationship with Him. And that didn't stop my relationship with my wife and my children and my grandchildren. It doesn't stop all that. I'm living life, but Christ is the center of that life I'm living. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we've been saved by faith, justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and then our life revolves around Him. That's all it means to be justified. Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad that we can live by faith and be led of the Spirit of God? Praise the Lord. For that. So that's what I wanted to talk about just a little bit. The biblical words for salvation is what are they? Salvation is number one, redemption and justification. Well, biblical words for salvation, I had to explain salvation itself, and it's like, wait a minute, there's only two of them, but there's three: salvation, redemption, and justification. Saved by grace. Aren't you glad for that through faith? Amen. Amen. That'll excite you. Lord, just get your motors to revving, because think about what Christ has done for you and how he saved you from to the uttermost. Saved you completely. Saved you completely. That is just great thinking. Amen? Amen. Well, would you stand with me?